time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
The Lightning is on the streets, the Lightning is in your mailboxes, and it's Thursday morning, which means it's on the radio. Time for Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, getting behind the headlines. Good morning, Bill Moss. Nice to have you with us again this morning for Lightning Radio.
Good morning, Mark. Glad to be back with you on Lightning Thursday for Lightning Radio.
Yes, sir. As we said, the Lightning is on the radio. It's on the in your mailbox. It's on the streets, and we're going to get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning, Bill. Let's get right to it, if we could. And you know, we've got numerous real estate agents that do things with us here at WTZQ, and this is something we've been hearing for a while. And you've got the story on it here, and that's the low inventory and low interest rates and newcomers, and our home sales are going through the roof, especially if we could just get the inventory.
That's it. Well, they are, whether we can or not.
Yeah,
Which is in the basic supply and demand world, what is driving price much more. But let's go to the top and start at the top where we were just about. We are very close to being almost right on a year ago, as everyone knows, with a great amount of pain and chagrin, I'm sure, the worldwide pandemic. And at that point, a real estate broker and also a longtime planning board member who knows a lot about the real estate market, both residential and commercial in Henderson County, tells us, Steve Dozier, I'm talking about, that we were scared to death in March, he told the Lightning, what was going to happen this year to the real estate market. But instead, it's been a phenomenal year. It just blows everybody's mind how well the market has been. So how well, what are the measures, what are the standard measures of the real estate market, in this case, residential market, strongly suggests the boom in 2020? Here's the bullets, Mark. Homes sold per month soared to 193, up by 137. It was down to what that would have been 60-some or so per month from the recession year of 2010. Days on the market, again, these are 2010 to 2020 comparisons, I believe. Days on the market plunged from 188 days 10 years ago, 256. The list sale ratio, that's the asking price compared to the price paid, basically, at closing, was at 98%. And medium sales price climbed to $325,000. And this is a really seller's market indicator, especially if you would like to sell pretty quickly. Months of inventory for every price range up to $700,000 was either 0, 1, or 2 months. And then finally, Dozier adds, even up to $800,000 is considered a seller's market right now. Average days on market in 2020 was 69 days, the lowest it's been in years, and the price is the highest it's ever been. So it is a big deal. We also interviewed David Noyes. He's an immediate past president of the Hendersonville Board of Realtors with offices in Arden, and they sell all over Western North Carolina. And he, too, mentioned the list sale ratio for the entire MLS, multiple listing service region from east of Charlotte to Waynesville, is 100%. And the reason is that although they're seeing some few outlier sales that might be in the low 90s in the list sale ratio, buyers are bidding up some of these desirable homes in desirable price ranges or desirable locations, so that there's other stuff, Noyes added, that's closing above 100% of asking price. And that's the amazing thing to me.
Wow.
And then I'll give you one more on the ground, very recent actual example. Again, back to Steve Dozier, where he shared a fresh example of this phenomenon illustrating the red hot market. I listed a house in Haywood Knolls a week ago this past Friday, he told the Lightning. Friday morning when it went on the market around 9 o'clock until Sunday at noon, I had 23 showings and 6 offers. Then he also sold a home recently in Fletcher for $25,000 above the list price. So That's what's going on. Good news. There's in migration of both baby boom, retirees, but also David Noyes tells the Lightning, some career-oriented relocations as well, whether Amazon, GE. I think he's referring to the GE in plant over in Asheville, which has had a big expansion. And we talked a lot in the past few weeks about the Pratt Whitney plant. Not here yet, of course, but I'm sure some executives are starting to come in and help set up the new factory. Hospitals are recruiting heavily. There's a lot of professionals coming here, he added.
Yeah, and I think 2020 proved to a lot of people that the work from home, people don't have to live in the big cities anymore where their jobs are. They can choose to live in a place like Hendersonville and still stay employed with some of their employees. I think we're seeing a lot of that influx as well.
You're exactly right. We talked about that as well. There are examples of I mentioned Chicago and David Noyes said, yeah, it's funny you should mention Chicago. We're really on the radar for Chicago. Steve Dozier mentioned three recent buyers from California. And something they both said is not in every case. In plenty of times they are just straight out relocations. But in other cases, these are second homes where people, they're not retiring. They're still working, and they can work either back home in Chicago, back home in California, back home in Miami, or wherever, but they also can work at their second home up here in the North Carolina mountains.
And I think there are a number of people also who are purchasing some homes and using them for Airbnb. We're certainly seeing those numbers also.
We've seen that in some of the new construction.
Yeah.
Especially of the little more, some of the little more cottage type classification of house, you might say. But yeah. In some cases, they may be 4,000 square foot houses that are nice, and they may be Airbnb or VRBO in those homes and making money on the side and living in it whenever they want to.
So you threw out a couple of words that I wanted to mention. Is there anything about new construction in this report? Because that's one of the things also. I mean, how much more land is there? How much new construction is happening, and how is that affecting this?
Well, the Hendersonville Lightning, of course, pursued. We went down that alley because it was suggested with all of this selling, good for sellers, yes. Not quite as good for buyers, but they the market is the market. The buyers that we are getting can afford it. But what does this say, one, about how long we can sustain, how long this boom will, this boom will be sustained by the market? And, oh, yeah, what about affordable housing? And so we checked. And so the Hendersonville County Inspections Department issued 573 building permits for new dwellings in 2020. That was down 1%, so not much, basically flat from 2019. But here is a significant factor, Mark. The value of the new homes suggests the inflation factor on new home construction as well. At $168 million, the total value was up 12.7% over the previous year. So that's number of dwellings up 1%. Though the total value is up 12.7%. Overall, the value of new residential and commercial construction spiked by 25% over 2019, while the value of remodeling additions for both business and residential property shot up by 32.5%. So despite the pandemic, we have a healthy economy here of growth. We do not have, though, particularly good news, once again, circling back to affordable housing, is we asked Mr. Noyes, is this new home construction, for one, keeping up with demand? Absolutely not, he said. And he answers the next question. And the next question is it affordable? And here's his explanation of that, Mark, which I think is really interesting, going to the economics of it. If I'm a builder, I've got labor, I've got lumber, I've got land. If I'm going to put labor on a job building a $200,000 home, I can use the same labor and work a little longer, and I can make $1 million home and make a lot more profit. You use 2x4s in a $200,000 house, you just use a few more. You just use a few more in a $1 million house, so what am I going to build? So, it sounds like that's driving a house that's well out of the range of affordable, 200 to 300. If you talk about that inventory, or you talk about that days on the market, or the list price to sale price, list price to close price ratios. If you got a $300,000 house right now in a desirable location, that's not going to that'll be on the market for hours. It won't even be met days.
Yeah, and you'll have multiple offers on it. Exactly. Let's stay on this subject, Bill, with another story that you have here regarding housing, and that's this 84-unit apartment complex, I guess, called Duncan Terrace that the Planning Board has endorsed.
Yeah, this is renting and not buying. We did. I'll circle back to one more thing about this story, because on the front page where the picture we made and ran on the front page to illustrate is of this new Ivy Crossing development of 49 single-family homes, and that is going back to price. Windsor Autry out of Greenville, South Carolina, it's called, I guess it goes by the name Windsor Built Homes, is marketing lots now, is marketing those homes in Ivy Crossing between 5th and 6th Avenues. They're just about between Hendersonville and Laurel Park. Windsor's marketing those right now, starting at $280. So that's actually for a nice new construction in a very desirable location. That may be a little bit of the answer on the home ownership. But this is this is workforce housing that people would rent, because and it will only happen if the developer gets this tax credit financing. And how tax credit financing works is, it makes it a project economically feasible enough to the point where, because of the law about the tax credit financing, they're able to rent these units at workforce, at what the government will tell them is the workforce housing rate for the monthly rent. And that's going to be roughly 80% of the household of the average household income. So it's more lower to some lower to middle income working families, mostly a level that's currently around $57,000 a year for Family Four in Henderson County. This developer, Bobby Funk, told the Planning Board on Monday. And what it is this would include, if it gets approval and it gets tax credit financing and it comes up out of the ground, is a community center and 7 apartment buildings containing 15 one-bedroom, 48 two-bedroom, and 21 three-bedroom units. Yeah, that is there. It's called Duncan Terrace, and that is there in that triangle formed by Signal Hill and Duncan Hill Roads there at, I never can figure out if it's North Main or Clear Creek Road there, but wherever that triangle is when you turn off to go out to Home Depot and so forth.
Interesting. So where does that stand now? The Planning Board has endorsed it. What's next on the list?
Yeah, Planning Board endorsed it in a unanimous vote on Monday. Goes probably, there's no reason why I won't go on a regular track to be taken up by the Hendersonville City Council in their next meeting, in their next regular meeting. It won't come up at their workshop meeting, but in their next regular meeting, which will be on Thursday, March 4th.
Okay. All right, and I'm sure the Lightning will continue to stay on this story. You're listening to Hendersonville Lightning Radio here on The Cue with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning, hendersonvillelightning.com.
Happy fall from Kaysen Oil Company. Fuel prices have dropped, so now is the time to get your oil before the cold weather is here. Schedule your delivery today by calling 693-0246. Family-owned and operated, Kaysen Oil Company, serving our community for over 40 years.
And we're back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and hendersonvillelightning.com. Bill, you've got an answer for us on something that you're of course, continuing to work on, but I've been asked by numerous people, what's going on over there near Walmart where the original Lizard's Thicket building was? It, of course, was a few other restaurants that never really made it, including a Moose Cafe. It's been torn down, and you've got the scoop on what's supposed to be going there in its place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, credit to where credit's due. Ask Matt got the scoop on this, and I had missed. I usually spot things like that myself, but sure enough, they bulldozed the last occupant of that space that, as you say, was built as a Lizard's Thicket. Though that was kind of the country-eating family.
Yep.
might recall, I think it's based out of Columbia, South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
There's a fair amount of them down there, and it just didn't work here. Neither did the Mad Greek Eatery. And then finally, a really good name with a good reputation in this area, Moose Cafe, which a lot of us thought, well, that'll work because that already has a good brand and popularity, and didn't. It wasn't owned by the same folks, by the way, that had the Moose Cafe. There's at least three Moose. There's another one down in the Triad, and they're independently owned and operated. So it wasn't owned by the same crowd that has this, so I assume, still popular place there at the WNC Farmers Market. But leaving that aside, it's gone now.
Yeah.
not to be mourned, I suppose, and will be replaced by a two-story, 59, almost 6,000 square foot, two-tenant building. And we are, we don't know for sure. We think, we're pretty sure, a restaurant, and offices, and a dental office, as a matter of fact, but we're bird dogging that, and we're getting a pretty strong scent, and we are pretty close to, we're hot on the trail of, identifying, what that. We just have a couple more calls to make to run all the way to the ground, which restaurant that's going to be. We're close.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that and keep looking for that story to break on the on your website or in our next print edition. On page two today for Lightning, on today's Lightning or this week's Lightning, our county manager, Steve Wyatt, has been honored for service. And you've got the story.
Yeah, he has indeed. This was a really big honor. It's one of those they don't give every year just because, oh, let's find somebody that we can name. They only give when they think they have a really worthy candidate. So an honor and credit to Mr. Wyatt for winning this award for his more than 38 years of city and county management experience, really all over the state of North Carolina and more, Polk and Catawba counties. He has worked as, where is that list? I thought it was interesting, of different places, lots of different, here it is, yeah. He's worked in those counties, Moore, Polk, and Catawba counties, and the town of Chadburn. And it said King's Tree, which the one I know of is down in the coastal plain of South Carolina, so I wasn't sure about that. But if you ever ask Mr. Wyatt about the best school in the whole wide world, he's probably going to tell you Appalachian State University. He's a huge fan, and he's put his passion for the school to work as a founding member and past chairman of the Appalachian State University Local Government Alumni Association. And he has previously won the Distinguished Alumni Award from Appalachian State and served on the University Board of Trustees. So congratulations for the well-deserved award for our county manager over the past 15 years.
Fantastic. And that's, of course, on page two in today's Lightning. Let's flip on over to page three and touch. You've been touching on this a bit, at least online, and that is about the county's COVID case rates cooling down a little bit from hot to a little bit cooler.
Yeah, we said you never want to, don't ever around a public health official call anything good or say that we're in good shape because they caution. No, we're not. We're just less bad than we were. So, but the county did improve. I mean, we really spiked, as Dr. Ellis famously said back a month or so ago, when they had about 60 COVID patients sitting in their beds and in their ICU, some of them on ventilators. It said the spike, the real threat, to healthcare personnel and hospitals and medical providers that we've been predicting since last March is here now. So this the case rate and the threat and the hospitalizations have abated quite a bit from that. So we went from in the state of North Carolina's measure of COVID severity from critical red, which we were along with something like 90 other counties or more across the state a couple weeks ago, all the way down to we improved from orange as well, and we're down to significant yellow. But they never tire of saying, or will stop saying, wear your mask, keep your distance, and stay home if you can.
Yeah, I got to interview Dr. Ellis again yesterday. We'll air that here pretty soon. And he gave us, of course, the current numbers and at least where they are with Pardee. And we're back down to where we were before the whole Thanksgiving Christmas spike and all of that. So that's very good news. But, of course, who knows what's going to happen with the new strands that seem to be coming through. So we still got to stay diligent. Absolutely.
Yes.
Let's stay on health, because on this exact same page, health insurance has reopened. You know, no longer it was back with the Affordable Care Act that you had to sign up by sometime in December for health insurance for the year. Well, it's reopened for those who need insurance.
Yeah, you might recall in the previous White House administration did precious little to try to promote Obamacare and healthcare.gov and make signups easier, promote it, advertise it, that sort of thing. Well, there's a change in administration, and so it's kind of a totally opposite approach there. So they reopened actually a kind of what they called a COVID-19 signup period, and that is almost right now. It looks like it's Monday to May 15. A lot of details in Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. How you can, both Pisgah Legal and Blue Ridge Health are agencies that are trying to help people sign up for that Obamacare if they would like to. So contact Blue Ridge Health at 692-4289, and you could get an appointment with a certified application counselor to try to get into some of that health insurance coverage.
Okay, that could be good news for some. Flat Rock Playhouse back in print, back in print now, and of course there's a story here about a new gift that has been given to them that has jump started a new fundraiser called Rock Solid. Can you tell us about that, Bill?
I can, yeah. We can give a shout out to Mr. David Lehman for pump priming this Rock Solid Preserve Ignite Revitalize, a campaign for Flat Rock Playhouse. For Mr. Lehman has donated the initial $118,000 and challenged patrons of the Flat Rock Playhouse, theater fans, and other supporters of that theater to help to match that dollar for dollar up to that amount. So that would be a nice start. You know, we talked at the at the top of the show about what things were like a year ago, and recall that at that point they were entering in the 2020 season with in the strongest financial position they had been in more than a decade. And we know what some of the challenges and near-death experience for the Playhouse was in the 2010 to 2014 time range, but forced to go dark in mid-March because of the pandemic. Obviously, government executive orders and the Actors Guild. So this would be a good thing to help them get started on what I'm sure they hope will be maybe some sort of in-person performances as soon as such a thing could happen.
Yep, it'd be nice to know. It'd be so great to have a timeline as to when that might be able to happen. But I do feel like we're definitely on the short end of the stick. We're not at the end of it, but we're on the short end of it, I think, slowly but surely. So again, that that gift helping jumpstart the Playhouse fundraiser, and of course, flatrockplayhouse.org is where you can go to get more information on that. Bill, let's touch on one more thing here before we go, and that is, of course, education. Our education system is so awesome here in Henderson County, and the Apple Valley Teaching Team has been honored for collaboration, and also the information officer Molly McGowan won some awards as well too. Molly McGowan Gorsuch.
Yeah, I'll see you those two awards and raise you one more. We'll talk also in just a second about the Service Academy nominees that met with U.S. Representative Madison Cawthorn a week before last, and we picture those as well. But for sure, showing again, we just talked about the county manager winning the statewide reward. Now we got Ms. Ashley Ruzick. I'm sorry if I didn't get the name. It's R-U-Z-I-C-H, Ruzick Ruzick. Miss Jessica Reed, who is the current Teacher of the Year at Apple Valley Middle School, and Donna Sargent winning this award. It's called a North Carolina Association for Middle Level Education Teaching Team to Watch Award. So they collaborate so well on how they teach the children there at Apple Valley School that it came to the attention of the statewide association, and they were recognized along with, in a different category, teaching assistant Haley Tatham, who was recognized as the 2021 School-Based Personnel to Watch Award, recognizing her work, where during the COVID-19 school shutdown, she worked, Haley worked tirelessly with students facing emotional and behavioral challenges. She offered individual support online, and this school year, Haley has worked each afternoon with first-year students in the newcomer program to help them become more proficient in English. So you say, why is our school system always listed in, you know, among the top five or better around the state? It's people, and it's people like these four young ladies that have gotten recognized statewide.
Yep, fantastic. And again, if you want to touch on this as we wrap up, the other awards that you wanted to talk about here with Madison Cawthorn.
Well, yeah, we did want to mention Molly, who when we got this news release, I almost guarantee it was generated by Molly McGowan Gorsuch, who very deservedly was recognized with, count them, 10 Blue Ribbon Awards.
Wow.
From the North Carolina Public School Relations. North Carolina School Public Relations Association last week, I think, on Friday in a virtual ceremony. And then talking about some, in this case, they're men, six young men that have been not just from our school system, but all over the 11th Congressional District. We picture them on page six, who aspire to attend one of the service academies and serve their country there and afterwards, and they are posing on page, like I say, they're posing with newly elected Representative Cawthorn, and they're Luke Arts of Inca High School, and I didn't know this, Mark, but that they apply, and they are not, this is not an appointment yet. The nomination by your congressman is one of the factors, and it's Luke Arts of Inca High School, Connor Maylander of Carolina Day School, Graham Green of Brevard High School, a couple locals, Luther LeBlanc of Veritas Christian Academy, John Ross of Hendersonville High School, and Derek Meany of McDowell County High School. Again, they have to they have to be admitted by the Military Academy, Service Academy, Naval Academy, Air Force Academy, after they get nominated by the congressman.
Fantastic. Bill, there's so much more in this week's Lightning. People need to make sure they pick up their copy and get the full scoop on all of these stories. Where can folks go to pick up their copy of this week's Hendersonville Lightning?
All over Henderson County, Mark, at any of the Lightning Orange racks or at some of our dealer partners, such as convenience stores, coffee shops, or public supermarket. This is a good place to pick one up. Or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe and joining the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or one other very easy way is to call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.